Welcome to the Finding Grace in the Wilderness podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Hawkins. Here each week, we will share stories about how God's grace can be found during life's most difficult circumstances. Meet with me around the table as we chat with others who have found that God's faithfulness never ends. We will share truth and life and discuss faith, fears, struggles, and victories. Join us as we seek to grow deeper in relationship with Jesus, the one who makes a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Hi, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. In today's episode, we will be discussing some mature adult themes. I strongly recommend that you listen to today's episode when little ears are not listening. Here we go. Today, we have a special treat. Ricky Jo Brewer is with us today. Ricky is a wife and a mom. She's married to William and has two beautiful children, Annie Jo and Arwen. Ricky Jo is a women's mentor for women who struggle with porn addiction through Offline Ladies Ministry. She's also been certified by Light University as a mental health coach. God has really blessed Ricky Jo and is using her to help many women. Welcome, Ricky Jo. We're so glad you're here today.
Thank you for having me, Sharon.
I've been looking forward to this interview, and I'm so glad that we're able to get together. I would love for you to tell us about yourself. Tell us anything that you'd like to share, but tell us how you found God's grace in the wilderness.
Absolutely. So I am originally from the Big Island of Hawaii. I am the youngest of my mother's four children. For the first 21 years of my life living on the islands, I've dealt with a lot of dysfunctionality in my family. Basically, my parents were never married. They were on and off. And there was a lot of struggle and confusion with how love actually is, a healthy romantic relationship in the home. So there would be times where my parents would fight, my dad would be distant from us for like maybe a week or two, and then he'll be back in the home and everything is fine and dandy and the vicious cycle repeats again. Now, I want to mention I was stigmatized as daddy's girl by a lot of my family, basically with a lot of his violent, turbulent behaviors. It really impacted a lot on my psyche, I want to say, just because I didn't know what it means to have a healthy role model of a man in the home. Even growing up, I would see the Disney films where they are such a gentleman. They are strong. They are gentle with the women. And I would see my dad and it really confused me of like what a man was supposed to be like. But the blend of reality versus the brokenness in the family, you know, especially with my father and I's relationship, it really struck a lot to me just because I thought like, okay, well, this must be love. And like, this is probably something I have to look forward to. Now, fast forward to middle school, and it is such a vulnerable time where you get really hit by reality. You get hit by different beliefs. And I say that because my mom, she's not a practicing devout Catholic, but she talked about Jesus. We prayed at meal times, but she never took us to church. And I visited some churches with aunties, but I never truly understood what it meant to have a relationship with Jesus, what it means to be a follower of Christ. So in middle school, I was already doing the missionaries, like, or the Jehovah's Witnesses coming to the house and doing Bible study. But when you are surrounded by a very broken, dysfunctional group of people, that can really distort such a young mind of a lot of beliefs, both secular and religious. So when I would mention to my friends, like, oh yeah, I do Bible studies like after school, but they would challenge me almost like very aggressively to where they would say like, well, who created God? Does he have a mother or a father? Well, I don't believe in that because they hate the gays and blah, blah, blah. Oh. And So it really challenged me, and I didn't really have a firm foundation, mm-hmm. being that I don't have a firm foundation at home anyways. Mm-hmm. So
can I ask a question?
Sure.
I was thinking how you said that your father impacted what you thought maybe it would be when you got married with mm-hmm. a man, that's how you would be treated. Did it impact your thought of God too, transplanting? God's a father, maybe a demanding and overbearing in some way. Can you share about that?
Yeah.
What you thought when you accepted him? When did you accept Christ?
So it wasn't until I started dating my now husband that I accepted Christ. But prior to that, as I was doing Bible studies with these missionaries or the Jehovah's Witnesses, I started to practice prayer. Like, God, like, make mommy and daddy happy. God, like, please protect my family from daddy, like, you know, taking his anger out on the family and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I say that briefly to share one incident that really impacted my life was where I literally saw my father grab my brother by his throat and lift him high up into the air. Mm-hmm. And my brother was probably middle school as well. And I was like under 10 years old when that happened. So really made me see men per se as these very like aggressive beings. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like aggressive type men. I preferred like very gentle, sweet. But it also distorted into, I liked mysterious guys. Like, they didn't get involved with like your normal guy situations. Mm-hmm. Like, they're in sports or, you know, they're in self-defense, extracurriculars or whatever. They were more like artsy. They liked music, or they liked, at the time in middle school, liked Japanese cartoons, aka anime.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I met my first boyfriend, he had already mentioned that he was also bi-curious is the word. And for me at that time, because I had a lot of friends who were girls, that I didn't realize until much later, they were actually trying to be involved with me than just being friends. And there was even one particular girl where she called me wifey. And I thought like, okay, we're just kidding around, whatever. And she'd be like, oh, you know, let's kiss. And I'd be like, okay, kiss on the cheek. She's like, no, let's real kiss.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, it made me question myself to be like, well, is love just between men and women? Mm-hmm. Is love just marriage, you know, basically, which is a sacred matrimony between a man and a woman.
Right.
But
help our listeners with bi-curious.
Oh,
some old folks like me don't know what that means. So
yeah,
help us. I know it's a word today. Help us.
Yeah. So bi-curious means that like you're thinking about getting involved with the same sex, mm-hmm. but you're not fully committed to getting involved with that person. So
you're exploring feelings about that.
Yes.
Okay.
But even though my boyfriend at the time was technically bi-curious, I was already proclaiming to be bisexual because I got not romantically involved with girl because she mm-hmm. and I didn't have that official step like, oh, you want to be my girlfriend? Yeah, let's be girlfriends or whatever. But were we doing things we shouldn't be doing? Absolutely. And we never got to a certain point where we were sexually involved, but just romantically, you know, holding hands and whatever. And kids that would see me would give me dirty stares, but I was very proud to be this quote unquote bisexual girl who's into anime and also proclaimed to hate God and disliked Christians because who in the world are you to tell me who I am allowed to love, basically?
Mm.
But this was like a very rebellious phase in my life.
Okay.
And
teenage years?
From like, I want to say 8th grade up until like early college years.
Mm-hmm.
And even one time where I came out, quote unquote, came out to my mother, where she says like, I'll still love you and accept you. But then the next day she's making subtle, as the secular world called, homophobic comments
mm-hmm.
to me the very next day about, oh, well, same-sex couples tend to spread more STDs and HIV with other people. But I was very proud. I didn't care. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And it wasn't until a year after my boyfriend at the time, we were together for 2 years, then he broke up with me to be with somebody else. And it left me devastated to where I got romantically involved with two other guys after, but it never lasted long for however the reason, and where I became just sexually involved with a couple other guys. And it left me so void and empty, and it made me realize that I need something or someone to fill that void. But I think I had to, quote unquote, heal myself before I get involved with somebody else.
Right.
And I literally said, like, I'm just going to, like, not focus on love or being involved with somebody. I'm just going to do me. And I'm in college, community college, there is. And the next day, it's 2012, I believe, I get a friend request on Facebook from somebody named William Brewer. And when I was still fresh in with that boyfriend, the bike hero's boyfriend at the time, I met William. He had came to Hawaii. He moved there. He was just a mutual friend of my boyfriend's friend. And so we met once. And from his side of the story, he had told God prior, because he was already a Christian at the time, where he told God, I'm not going to get involved with any other woman unless you have specifically designed and destined for her and I to be together. And he
forever,
yes. Yeah. And so he was waiting for the bus, the public transportation bus in Kona, which is a town in Hawaii. And he heard me laugh. And he said that was where God broke down all his walls, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. And he turned and looked and he saw me. And God said to William, this is the woman that I have created for you to marry in the future.
And wow. I got chills.
And so when he saw me again and he saw that I was, you know, already had a boyfriend, and he would like kind of like ask me questions here and there, but it was just like very like casual stuff. Like, oh, like, how are things between you and boyfriend? It's like, oh, we're really good and blah, blah, blah. And then he asked the mutual friend, like, hey, how old is Ricky, by the way? And that friend at the time said, oh, she's only 15. And William was already in his 20s. And he was like, nope, I am not going to jail for nobody. And I call it reverse stalking, where he would see me in town, but he'll run the opposite direction saying, I'm not going to jail. I'm not going to jail. God, you made a mistake, blah, blah, blah. But that was like 2008, 2010. Now, fast forward to 2010, and he sent me that Facebook request, and I added him. I was curious, like, hey, I know you, and we were exchanging messages back and forth, catching up with life and whatnot. I think it was 2 months into reconnecting, he texts me, and he's like, I thought about you today, and you made me smile, and I was like, okay, like, I feel the same way too. But at that moment, I was kind of being semi-traditional, especially since he's already shared with me that he's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
He is, despite all that he's, you know, done to rebel against God, God is still chasing after him. And it made me feel like at peace with this quote-unquote Christian man, despite him knowing that I was a proclaimed, you know, bisexual woman and therefore also an atheist at the time. And he was just very gentle towards me. He was so caring as well that it really made me feel I could be vulnerable and safe with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so finally, he asks me out, but he texts me and I'm like, dude, you're not going to text me to be my girlfriend or to be my boyfriend. Like, you have to call me. And I called him and I was like, you're not asking me through text message. And he's like, will you please be my girlfriend? I'm like, yes, I will. And we were long distance because he was already in California at the time, 2012. A year later, I moved in with him. And a year later, it was his birthday, May 11, 2014. And he asked to go to church. We visit a couple churches, Pentecostal, I want to say non-denominational, but they just didn't hit home. And I say that because once we went to this one church nearby, I felt at home. And it was just this overwhelming peace in the church that was like, okay, I'm not going to burn up into flames and ashes because of everything I've done against God. But every time I would attend that church, even if William had to work, I would walk to that church. And I was learning more about God, and I fell very hard for Christ. Just knowing how much he loves me, how much serenity he wants to offer me, the grace, the mercy to be redeemed from everything. There was just this fulfillment within that, like, started to heal all that brokenness, mm-hmm. you know, as cliche as it is, but there's so much brokenness that I came from that it made me feel whole in all levels. And I just knew Christ was real at that moment. Mm-hmm. So I want to say February 2015, I got baptized at that church.
How old were you when you got saved?
21 okay. when I got saved.
Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. And then 2022, I got baptized. Me and William got married that April. And then I started participating as a volunteer in the preschool ministry.
That's wonderful. So you had a long distance relationship
for a year, and it was hard.
Yeah.
And that's because there was like a lot of doubts between me and him from outside influence, basically, where his family was saying like, yeah, but you don't know if she's going to be faithful to you and committed to you. There's other women that can be with you. And there was a couple other girls that has tried to get involved with William, but he was like, no, I'm in love with Ricky Joe. You are not going to persuade me otherwise. And for me, there was a lot of comments, especially being from the islands, and then the quote-unquote colonization. And that's a whole spew that I tend to go off on, but I'll keep it brief. Basically, none of my family was happy that I was dating a white boy again. And that's because they prefer that I dated locally. Try not to, I don't want to say taint the bloodline or whatever, but just a lot of racism. I'll say it as bluntly as possible. Just because, like, you can come and visit, you know, because tourism is one of the major economies for the islands. But as far as staying here, taking over Hawaiian Islands and, you know, populating with the women and blah, 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 like, you know,
there's a separation.
Yes, even though many people online...
Ethnicity.
Yeah, like they try to argue that it's not like that at all. It's like, no, it is like that. Especially when for most of my life, I saw that type of behavior from my own relatives. But when I portrayed it to other people, I was, quote unquote, in the wrong. And it's like, I'm perpetuating what you guys already perpetuate. So it makes zero sense to me. But then years later, I'm married to a white man. We have mixed children. And
beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. That's all God right there.
Absolutely. It is. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm so blessed because it's not about your skin color or where you're from.
Right.
It is if God anointed and appointed two people to be together, no man should separate them. And it's so crazy because with God telling William, this is the woman you're meant to be with. She's going to do great things in my name. And this is like him prophetically telling me what God told him. And I'm like, no, I'm just some girl who, you know, doesn't feel worthy to, you know, do ministry. Like, oh, maybe like, yeah, I'll volunteer in preschool, but I'm not going to do anything much else. But God has really showed up in that wilderness because even when I came to the faith, there was so much wildness going on that he was in front of me chopping down all things to make a way for me. And it's nothing short of beautiful, if that's the way I'm supposed to say it. It's beautiful, indescribable, the things that he has brought me and my family through. And that's with all the different types of things that the enemy has put in our path. And that nearly destroyed us on multiple occasions. But at the same time, we have persevered. And it's only by God's grace that he has helped me and my husband through a lot of wilderness. Because we tend to, what's the word? Like, go off the narrow path. Thinking, this is better. This is the way. When, no, not really. It is God's way only. He can show us a better life,
right,
and help us through anything other than what we think. Because in the Bible, it says to give me the wisdom that surpasses my own understanding. that God gives us wisdom when we ask for it. So it's James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. I am still in awe of everything that he's pulled us through. Mm-hmm. And that is with a lot of toxicities within our family, like his biological mother, my father, because my father visited me and my husband once when we were still engaged. And this was a get to know you because you're going to marry my daughter, whatever. At this point, I've already gone through different seasons of the same vicious cycle. My dad says or does something that terrifies me. I distance myself from him. He will try to leverage my love for him to get what he wants. But I will distance myself, and then we would have like a year gap or so of not in contact. And somehow I'll get involved back with my dad. And the last time was because William, being a good Christian man, he's like, you need to forgive your dad. He probably wants to have a relationship with you because you're an adult woman now. You know, it's different. And I trusted William's compassion for my dad, mm-hmm. to allow my dad back in. And for months, it seemed to be going well till he came over and visited. By the third day of his 9-day visit, he had assaulted William in the parking lot of a PetSmart, I believe.
Oh, no.
And police got involved. They even thought an animal was in the mix. So they called pet control. And where my husband said, I'm not going to press charges against my father-in-law. Like, I'm sure we can sort this out. 6 days was like walking on eggshells again. Mm-hmm. And after he left, I looked at William and I said, I can't do this anymore. I do not want our future children to live in the same cycle that my father had put me through when I was, you know, a child. Because right. they deserve better. And
yes.
Sorry.
No, it's real.
Yeah. Because my kids deserve better. And I'm not saying like me and my husband have been like the perfect parents either. But every day, like, I am grateful to God that so much as I seek him, he will give me the wisdom I need to raise my kids. Mm-hmm. And only by his wisdom and my relationship with him has he even helped me with Annie's autistic diagnosis in mm-hmm. 2019. She was almost 3. We had just gotten back from Hawaii because my husband, and I was pregnant with Arwen at the time, and Annie, had flew out to Hawaii for my grandmother's funeral. And when we came back, she got evaluated for a few hours, and the psychologist shared with us that she was level 2 autism. Mm-hmm. Before then, she was in speech therapy, and the speech pathologist was really insistent that she was on the spectrum, to where she said, Mrs. Brewer, like, I'm not trying to say that she is, but the symptoms, like, the earlier you can get her, you know, intervention, the better. And when we got that diagnosis, there was even more doubt. Like, no, Annie's too smart. You need a second opinion, blah, blah, blah. But months prior to that with the autism, she was having meltdowns every week. The longest she's had was like 2 hours. Just banging her head on the wall, the floor. She was hurting herself. She was hurting us. I sat in our Mitsubishi at the time after a visit to, I think it was an audiologist or something, that was just sitting there just petting my shoulder saying like, it's going to be okay. Mm. Da, da, da. Emptying myself. No, this is not okay. This, whatever people are accustomed to with special needs, like, there's got to be another answer. So I cried to God, begging him, please help me help my daughter, because there's got to be something more than putting her on medicine or just letting her go through the system. There's got to be something you have in store that is going to help her. And he led me through so much, like, holistic approaches. Mm-hmm. And we now have a verbal child who's in gen ed classes full time. And she has been the most sweetest child that I've ever met. And I'm thinking to myself, like, I am a hot mess. And I have this little girl that, you know, God has blessed me with. Like, I am even more amazed by the miracles he can do. Mm-hmm. And now we're just waiting on a diagnosis for our son for ADHD. And he's going to graduate from parent-child integrated therapy this week, and it helps me to understand my husband, who also has ADHD. And my running joke is, everybody in my family has special needs, and I'm just emotionally unstable. And I, in a way, like, my dark sense of humor, you know, helps me cope with things, but it also helps me to give my family more grace. So instead of having a perfect, tidy up home, having, you know, well-balanced meals, like, I have to be less like Martha and more like Mary. Just being in God's presence and waiting on Him, which I still struggle because I can be very impatient. I won't lie about that. But ultimately, seeking Him to go about every single day, because in the Serenity Prayer, it says one day at a time, one moment at a time, taking hardship as a pathway to peace. And that is what I desire more than anything in my family, is peace. And that is only God's peace, not my own. So it's been an incredible journey with just my family altogether, despite all the negative talk, or was it the naysayers right, from both sides. Mm-hmm. But once me and William had married and had our children, there's been a lot of support and encouragement to not just stick together, but to endure all things mm-hmm. through Christ. Mm-hmm. And without Christ, I feel like we would have fallen apart multiple times, because statistics in special needs families are really high in divorce. And then, of course, I'm sure you want to mention, you know, infidelity on my side, you know, is a leading cause for divorce. But God still showed up regardless and helped us prosper through. And it's something that me and my husband still look at each other as like, look what God did.
Yeah. It's amazing how our lives can be a hot mess, mm-hmm. like you're talking about.
Right.
And somehow God just, if we seek Him first, like you said, you're a Mary rather than a Martha.
Mm.
If you sit at His feet, somehow all that noise, all that chaos, He just speaks peace to, and He makes it work. But it is 1 minute at a time, isn't it?
Yes.
And I'm sure, as that little girl in Hawaii, if you had planned out your life and said, this would be the ideal for me and what I would want, and just envisioned it, maybe that you would still be in Hawaii.
Right.
And where you are now, and all the miracles and all the things He's brought you through, you never probably thought could even see how it would be this way now as a little girl.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I'm even more thankful to God. Like, God, it is not my will, but Yours. Mm-hmm. Because if I had it my way, I would have two perfect children, a perfect husband, I would be perfect, and we would live a perfect life. But it's not like that.
Well, they are perfectly and wonderfully made, so.
That's also
true. Just what, they're just what we all are, just who God wants us to be. And He's going to get us through it, despite yes. if we just look to Him.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's funny, because a lot of the wilderness, God has brought us out. When I share that, like, part of the testimonies with other people, they are like, oh my goodness, like, I'm going through that right now. Or like, this happened to me, and mm-hmm. only because You said it that I can share this with you, and be mm-hmm. not like open about it, like how I am, but still open up about it. And sometimes they would kind of like seek my advice with that. Mm-hmm. And especially if they're Christian, I would encourage them, go to God for that. Because only He can tell you the exact steps that you need to take in order to reconcile the marriage, or to mend any broken relationships you had, mm-hmm. or even to receive healing. Because oftentimes that there is a problem within the relationship, or a situation that's going on, but you keep sweeping under the rug, there is a root cause to all that. Even with my...
With your good intentions.
With my good intentions, yes. Yeah. But sometimes life happens,
mm-hmm.
and I tend to just let go of God, thinking like, God, You made a mistake, or God, like, I don't know what's going on, but this makes me feel better. I want to go to this.
Mm-hmm.
And even like from as young as I could remember, like, oftentimes that something good is going on, there's a bad intention behind it. So when my parents are, you know, taking us to another town on the island for shopping, a weekend in the hotel with the pool, and it's good vibes and everybody's happy and joyful, a couple days later, boom, vicious cycle again. They're fighting, they're arguing, stuff is being broken around the house, there's a lot of yelling and a lot of trauma. You know, and then dad will leave and come back, start the cycle again. So for me, I in a way perpetuated that with my own husband, to where if he's upset, I was the cause of it. Either it was my fault, or I didn't do enough, or I need to fix it. And sometimes for my husband, he'll just withdraw because that's what he's used to in his childhood, of like, he needs to figure it out, he needs to withdraw and get his head back together, whatever. And I would feel like this disconnect between me and him. So I would take that as he's going to eventually leave me, he's going to abandon me, or he's going to mistreat me or something. And even when growing up, people would ask me, like, do you really think I'm going to hurt you or something like that? I would lie, saying, no, I don't think you're going to hurt me. But deep down inside, I think they're going to do worse.
Right.
They're going to leave me hanging, or they're going to just mistreat me.
Mm-hmm.
And with my husband, when he would ask me that, I would say, like, no, I don't think you're going to leave me or whatever. But deep down inside, I do. But it was only through recovery that he and I learn better communication skills, to where I can freely share with him what is exactly on my mind and heart, to where he has to not take it so personal. And he will be like, okay, I'm sorry if I portrayed that to you. I want you to understand that I would never leave you despite everything we've been through. And I truly do love you, and I want to do better as your husband. And it's 13 years in the works, but as only through God.
Right. You and your husband have been through so much, and I'm so thankful that God has brought you through and he continues to be with you. Thank you so much for joining us and for being so vulnerable and transparent. I know that there's someone today that needs to hear just what you've shared. We are just getting started with this interview, and we'll continue next week with the remaining part. Thank you so much for being here, and I look forward to continuing.
I'm honored that you have me on your podcast.
Thank you so much for being a part. We'll be sharing the next episode of this interview next week. For those of you who are listening, it is our prayer that no matter what you go through, that you will seek God for your help and your refuge, as he is the only true help that we have. The enemy throws everything he can against us, but God's plans are bigger and God's plans are better, and I pray that we'll always choose them, and I pray that we'll always seek him. When we look to him and we make Jesus our personal Savior, we can always find grace in our wilderness. Thank you for listening to this episode of Finding Grace in the Wilderness. May God lead you safely through your wilderness as you trust him, and may his river of grace always flood your desert times. He is doing a new thing. Let's not miss it. Subscribe or follow to make sure you don't miss a single episode. See you here next time.